Okay, so get this. We're diving into a letter written from prison. Not exactly your typical feel-good story, right? But trust me, this one's special. We're talking about Paul's letter to the Philippians.
You know what's so fascinating about this letter? It's just bursting with joy. It's almost paradoxical considering Paul's circumstances, imprisoned for spreading the gospel, yet his words are just filled with hope and encouragement.
Okay, so let's set the scene. Paul's writing to the Philippian church, a congregation in a former Roman colony. He's a prisoner, but he doesn't dwell on his own suffering. He dives right into themes of unity and joy and this really intriguing concept of a Christ-centered mindset, even while facing hardship.
And, his imprisonment, in a way, oddly enough, actually helps spread the gospel further. He even mentions that the message reached the imperial guards. It's like his confinement created this unexpected opportunity for outreach, showing that physical limitations couldn't contain the power of his message.
Now, this is where things get really interesting for me. Paul keeps urging the Philippians to stand firm in their faith. It feels like he's anticipating potential threats, like the arrival of the Judaizers who might try to disrupt the church. It feels like a call to action, to cultivate resilience in the face of opposition.
Absolutely. And this call to stand firm isn't just about external threats. It's also about addressing conflict brewing within the church itself. Paul specifically calls for unity between two prominent women, Euodia and Syntyche, who seem to be at odds.
Oh, wow. So he's dealing with threats from both outside and inside the community. What does this mean for us today, centuries later?
Well, Paul's message is timeless conflicts are bound to arise, right? But his plea for reconciliation reminds us that approaching situations with a Christ-centered mindset can really help. It's about prioritizing harmony and understanding above all else.
Yeah, I get that. But what does having a Christ-centered mindset actually mean?
That's a great question. It's about choosing forgiveness over resentment, understanding over judgment. It's approaching every situation with the same love and compassion that Christ demonstrated. Paul really puts this into practice in his letter. He calls upon a yoke fellow to help Euodia and Syntyche reconcile.
Wait a minute. So we don't even know who this yoke fellow is. That just adds another layer to this whole thing.
Exactly. The identity of the yoke fellow is a bit of a mystery. Scholars have tossed around various theories. Some say it could be a prominent figure like Epaphroditus Silas or even Luke. Others, like Clement of Alexandria, suggest it could even be Paul's wife Lydia. Of course, this is assuming he was married, which is a whole other debate.
Wow, so many possibilities. Look at the historical puzzle. But if we don't even know who this person is, what's the point of Paul even mentioning them?
You see, the point isn't about solving the mystery. What Paul's emphasizing is the importance of seeking help from within the community, from those we trust when resolving conflicts. It's about acknowledging that we don't have to face challenges alone.
It's like he's saying, hey, lean on each other. Lean on your faith. You've got this. I love that. But this idea of finding joy in the midst of conflict and imprisonment still seems a bit out there to me.
Well, that's the beauty of Paul's message. This joy he keeps talking about isn't dependent on external circumstances. It's rooted in something deeper, something internal. His faith allows him to experience this abiding joy that transcends his immediate challenges.
So it's not about ignoring those hardships, but finding a deeper source of strength and resilience. And he wants the Philippians to experience this too.
Precisely. And he's very specific about how this joy should manifest. He calls for them to adopt a gentle demeanor, one that's visible to all. It's about embodying a Christ-like spirit, even, or perhaps especially when things are tough.
But honestly, isn't it hard to maintain that kind of joy when life throws you curveballs? I mean, how can you be joyful when facing real pain and suffering?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's easy to talk about joy, but how do we actually cultivate it when things feel really tough? Especially when, like, we look around and all we see are problems. You're absolutely right. It's not always easy. But, Paul offers us some practical advice for dealing with anxiety. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God."
So it's about acknowledging those anxious feelings, but instead of letting them consume us, we turn to prayer and gratitude.
Exactly. And notice the incredible promise that follows. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
Wow, that image of peace guarding our hearts and minds. It's like having this incredible shield protecting us from the anxieties that try to overwhelm us.
Precisely. Paul is describing peace as this powerful force that safeguards us when we connect with Christ. And it's fascinating how this connects back to his earlier advice about cultivating a Christ-centered mindset. He calls on the Philippians to focus on things that are true, honorable, just pure, lovely, excellent, and worthy of praise.
It's like he's saying, hey, pay attention to what you're feeding your mind. Focus on the good stuff. It sounds so simple, but I imagine it takes a lot of discipline.
It definitely does. And Paul emphasizes that it's not just about having these thoughts, but about putting them into action. He says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. He's challenging us to live out what we believe.
So it's a cycle. By cultivating this mindset, we invite the peace of God into our lives, and that peace empowers us to live with excellence. And speaking of excellence, we can't forget about that thankless thank you regarding the Philippians' financial gift.
Oh, yes. That passage has generated a lot of discussion among scholars. It's definitely complex with many different interpretations. Some scholars believe that Paul might have been genuinely surprised by the gift, maybe even a little uncomfortable. Perhaps he was striving for financial independence in his ministry and hadn't expected or requested their support.
So it wasn't that he wasn't grateful, but maybe he was just thrown off by the unexpected generosity.
That's one possibility. It might have created this awkward moment for him, leading to a slightly unconventional expression of thanks. Another perspective is that Paul was trying to shift their focus away from material gifts and onto the true riches found in the gospel. He wanted them to understand that his ministry wasn't driven by financial contributions, but by a deeper calling.
That makes a lot of sense. He wouldn't want them to think their gift was the only thing keeping his ministry afloat, or that it was like a transactional relationship.
Exactly. While he was clearly appreciative of their partnership, he also wanted to highlight the true source of his strength and motivation, his connection with Christ.
It sounds like a tricky balance to strike, but Paul, as always, manages to navigate it with grace and wisdom. It's also fascinating how he manages to weave in so many themes in this one letter.
You're absolutely right. We see friendship joy in suffering humility, unity kinship, and this constant call to model Christ-like behavior. It's remarkable how he seamlessly interweaves all these ideas in such a short letter.
It's like he's giving us this rich tapestry of faith. There's practical guidance for dealing with everyday challenges, and it all points back to the transformative power of a relationship with Christ. It's inspiring even centuries later.
It really is. And despite the ongoing scholarly debate about specific passages, the core message of Philippians remains clear. Joy, unity, and a Christ-centered mindset are essential.
And it's a message that resonates regardless of our circumstances, whether we're facing external threats, internal conflicts, or just the everyday anxieties of life. Paul's letter offers timeless wisdom and encouragement. He's like this wise friend offering guidance from across the ages.
That's a beautiful way to put it. He's a friend who's been there, experienced hardship, and emerged with this unwavering sense of hope and joy. And he wants to share that with us.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Philippians, what's the one key takeaway you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. Where does someone even begin to apply all of this to their own life? Well, for me, the most powerful takeaway from Philippians is this unwavering belief that even in the midst of challenges, joy is possible. It's a choice we make, a perspective we cultivate.
It's not about pretending everything's okay, but about finding that unshakable source of joy that comes from connecting with something bigger than ourselves.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And for Paul, that source was his relationship with Christ. That connection empowered him to stand firm in his faith, pursue unity in his community, and live a life characterized by gentleness, gratitude, and excellence.
You know what strikes me is how relatable Paul is. He doesn't shy away from the hard stuff. He acknowledges the struggles, the anxieties, the conflicts. He's right there with us in the thick of it.
That's what makes his word so powerful. He's not preaching from some unattainable pedestal. He's speaking from experience from a life that was deeply and authentically transformed by faith, even when facing imprisonment and persecution.
It's like he's saying, look, I get it. Life is tough, but here's how I found a way through it.
Exactly. And he invites us to walk that same path, to discover that same source of joy and strength.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Philippians, what's one practical step our listener can take today to bring a little bit of Paul's message into their own lives?
I'd say start by reflecting on those things that bring you genuine joy. What are those moments, those activities, those relationships that nourish your soul? Maybe it's spending time in nature, connecting with loved ones, or simply taking a few moments for quiet reflection. Whatever it is, make time for it. Cultivate those sources of joy.
That's a great place to start. It's about being intentional, about seeking out those moments of peace and joy, even amidst the chaos.
Yeah.
And remembering, as Paul reminds us, that joy isn't about our circumstances. It's about that deeper connection.
Beautifully put. And, you know, if you find yourself struggling, remember Paul's words. Be anxious for nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. There's incredible power in turning to something greater than ourselves when things get tough.
And there's that beautiful promise of peace that follows. It's a reminder that we're not alone in our struggles.
Right, as Paul says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
I think that's a perfect note to end on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Philippians. We hope you found it enriching and maybe even a little bit inspiring.
It's been a pleasure. Until next time, keep seeking truth, keep cultivating joy, and keep diving deep.